the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. On the phone with me is Edward G. Lengel. He is an American military historian, a professor at the University of Virginia, and director of the Papers of George Washington at the University of Virginia. He's also the author of the book First Entrepreneur, How George Washington Built His and the Nation's Prosperity. And here on the eve of the president's birthday, we're going to talk all about our founding father. Edward, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you for having me.
I want to ask about the papers of George Washington, because as I was reading your book, First Entrepreneur, I was struck by the quality of the letters here that you used to lay out the case for his entrepreneurship. This is a man of many papers, I guess you could say.
We have copies of 140,000 documents in our collection, and we've been publishing them since the 60s. We now have 60 volumes, and they're huge. It's unbelievable how much he kept. He was a very meticulous record keeper.
Well, and I think that's the point you make in First Entrepreneur, that a lot of Washington's success was because of that meticulousness, keeping just some wonderful records and drawing. Of course, he and his background as a surveyor was a great draftsman, and some of the maps here, especially of Mount Vernon, are just intriguing. But what birthed that meticulousness in Washington?
I think it was partly just the way he was born, his mindset. He was naturally, from his very earliest days, kind of a persnickety fellow. He was careful about everything he did. I think he had the mind of an engineer, really. But part of it came, too, from the way that he was brought up. His father died when he was only 11, and his mother was very practically minded. She believed that he needed to learn basic principles, things like accounting and geometry, mathematics, so that he could learn how to run an estate. And she taught him to be very careful in everything he did.
And I was also, of course, a little bit shocked. I was not as familiar with George Washington and his background as I am now after reading your book, but that his early notes and letters were really showed his lack of formal education. I was shocked at some of the spelling and grammar.
Yeah, if you read his early stuff, the grammar is poor, the spelling is iffy, the handwriting is pretty bad. But it's remarkable, after the French and Indian War, and he got back and got married and started running his estate, you can see everything in his writing and grammar improving dramatically, because he focused in on educating himself. And he spent the better part of a decade just reading and writing and trying to better himself.
That was what, the 1760s or so, I think, if I remember correctly, where you say he was quite a news hound. He liked reading all the newspapers.
That's true to the very end of his life. Actually, the last day of his life, he spent reading the newspaper. He loved to read the news. He loved to keep on top of everything that was happening, domestic and foreign news. And I think that's one of the reasons he had this great quality of being able to look at the details, but also to understand the big picture. What do the little things that we do mean in the context of the broad world that we inhabit?
So he did educate himself later in life, but what do you think that lack of formal education did to help him succeed in all his dealings, business and political?
Well, I think it taught him that the basics matter, the fundamentals matter. And it taught him to learn how things work mechanically. When he became an entrepreneur and a manager in his own right, and he began to experiment with new technologies and new ways of developing his estate, he knew that he had to study them carefully on his own, that he couldn't take any knowledge for granted. That he couldn't, for example, he would be a big primary source guy. He wouldn't just rely on secondary sources or what people told him. He needed to understand for himself. And that helped to inform his success in a lot of different ventures.
Edward G. Lengel is the author of First Entrepreneur, How George Washington Built His and the Nation's Prosperity. details on our website, wvxu.org. And Ed, well, I want to talk a little bit about Mount Vernon, because really that reveals Washington's genius. You were just talking about, you know, procedures and, you know, different machinery trying to better the estate. I loved how he started his day by, even before breakfast, getting on the horse and taking a circuit of the estate just to take measure of all that was going on. And that really was kind of when he inherited Mount Vernon and got married, when things took off in his life, right?
That's right, but he had to work in the 1760s within the British colonial system, and that was incredibly frustrating for him. The British mercantilist system forced people like Washington planters to grow tobacco, which was what he originally did, and to sell it through British agents, British merchants overseas. They would sell it for him, and he would receive credit in return. He didn't receive cash, and it left him dependent, and it also forced him into debt. He hated debt. It was one of the things he hated and feared the most. So that was one of the things that drove him in the 1760s to transfer everything at Mount Vernon over to wheat. And wheat being much less labor-intensive allowed him to transfer his labor on his estate, both the enslaved people who were there as well as other workers, to become self-sufficient, to produce their own clothing, their own shoes, their own tools, to mill flour, to develop a fishery. And they became self-sufficient. They were able to sell on their own right and to profit from it. So he was a very innovative manager, and he liked to experiment and to change and develop.
I know a lot of history tourists have visited Mount Vernon and taken a tour of the estate and seen most of the working, but I was very interested in a map that popped up in your book, First Entrepreneur, about the growth of Mount Vernon from 1754 to 1786. And boy, it had some just amazing growth. And really, that was quite a kingdom in itself that Washington was running there.
When he inherited it from his older half-brother Lawrence after he died, and his widow and the child died as well, Washington had an estate that was moderate. It was a few thousand acres. The mansion house was rather run down and dilapidated, as was the mill. Washington was really big on acquiring land and growing, and by the time George Washington died, it was about 8,000 acres, and very productive acres, too. He was an advocate of what was called the new husbandry. It was scientific farming methods that he inherited, that he imported from Great Britain. Britain had gone through the agricultural revolution, and Washington wanted to use the most modern techniques possible. So he applied them to his estate, and it really enriched the land. So it became very profitable.
I'm speaking with Edward G. Lingle, author of First Entrepreneur, How George Washington Built His and the Nation's Prosperity. And I wanted to ask Ed about the approach you took to this book, because so often people look at Washington's military contributions, and this is something taken from a different tack. What made you look at him through the business lens?
Well, I am myself a military historian, and I have written about Washington as a soldier. And in that context, and it wasn't natural for me to look at him through a different lens as a businessman. Part of the reason is that we decided at the Washington Papers Project over the last few years to edit and publish his business records. And looking at them the first time, I saw how huge and extensive they are and how meticulous they are. And it forced me to look at Washington as somebody who was really focused on money, actually. It sounds terrible to say. It makes us think, oh, he must have been greedy. For him, it was natural. He believed that industriousness and morality were two sides of the same coin. The moral man was industrious and vice versa. So I'm glad that I did. It really gave me great new insights to look at him this way as a businessman.
I love it how in the book First Entrepreneur, you tie his business dealings and his approach to business to both his military and political business as well. Which do you think informed the other the most?
Well, as a general, Washington believed that his role in commanding the army was not just to defeat the British, but it was to ensure that the economy remained stable, that we won the war with something to build upon, a stable infrastructure, a stable society. And so he didn't want to fight this type of scorched earth guerrilla campaign. And so that was very important. But I would say it was more important during his presidency, because it was extremely important for him to establish the nation upon a sound economic footing. He felt that his role as president was to create a stable government that could maintain a stable currency, that could keep the peace. He was very much a man of peace and could kind of set the stage for Americans to build their own wealth. And he was completely successful in that.
This is not your first book about George Washington, Ed, and I know you're quite enthralled by the man, if your books are any indication, but what attracts you to George Washington and his, you know, his contribution to the founding of our country? What do you find the most interesting?
I came to Washington by accident, actually. I studied European history in graduate school, and I joined the Washington Papers because it was a job some 20 years ago. And so I was kind of forced to get to know the man almost against my own will. But the more I got to know him, the more I came to respect him as a human being. He had always seemed in the past to me to be two-dimensional and stiff and unapproachable. But I found he was very human. He struggled against multiple disadvantages, the loss of his father, the lack of education, poor health much of the time, people who were opposed to him. And he was able to maintain his integrity while he did it. And I think in many ways as president, that's his greatest legacy, is that he established the integrity of the presidential office. Of course, that was not always maintained by his successors, but the standard was set, and he did that.
And you point out in the book, I'd love your account of his final days. It's very poignant, and you talk about him making plans for the new century, because it was about to be 1800. But things kind of fell apart after he died when it came to Mount Vernon. What has saved Mount Vernon in the long run, beyond the way he left it to his family?
Well, what saved Mount Vernon in the long run was the ladies of the Mount Vernon Ladies Association, beginning with Ann Pamela Cunningham in the 1850s. The estate had really become run down, and it was in pretty bad shape in the years before the Civil War. And various groups of men had attempted to raise money to restore and preserve Mount Vernon, and they had failed utterly. And Ann Pamela Cunningham famously said, well, if the men can't do it, the women will. And the women did. So they've done a remarkable job over the years. And for anybody who can visit Mount Vernon now, it's astonishing what an amazing place it is to visit. All the interactive exhibits they have there. They've restored the grist mill. You can see it in operation, the farms, and Washington's technologies, the 16-sided barn, his innovative grist mill, his distillery, which was extremely profitable, have all been restored, and you can all see them in operation.
Well, those are all, I think, pop up in the book, First Entrepreneur, here, but I was wondering, just for history tourists, if I was visiting Mount Vernon and wanted to look at the entrepreneurial side of George Washington, where would you point me?
I would say go to the distillery and the grist mill, which are owned by Mount Vernon. They're right near the estate. And go there during the spring or the fall when you can see them in operation. You can actually see the distilling taking place. You can even buy it there in the gift shop. because this is a place where Washington's belief in modern technology really came to the fore, and his belief in careful investment and calculated risk-taking. It's great to see it in operation.
Well, thank you for the book, Ed, and appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Edward G. Lengle, his book is First Entrepreneur, How George Washington Built His and the Nation's Prosperity, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it through our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.